It's the Mayo News Football Podcast. I'm Rob Murphy. This Road to Croker series has really taken off. We are on episode 4 and we have 2 more to come during the week. Today's show is what we're calling Tip Talk. Mike Finnerty driving the hard yards in this particular episode up in Croke Park, chatting to 2 brilliant voices of Tipperary GA and on this occasion Tipperary football. First of all, Damien Lawler and Nicky English, both friends of the podcast. That's to come. My co-host for today to set the scene and have a little chat with you at the end as well is John Gunnigan. Hi, John.
Hi, Rob. Yeah, less than a week to go now, so the countdown is well and truly on to Croke Park on Sunday.
I really enjoyed, and we can talk to this later, just even going through some of the Tipperary Senior Football Championship stats this year and the type of stuff that you just didn't do in recent years from one week to the next with the teams we were playing. And listening to Damien Lawler, as we're about to hear, talking about some of the players around the fringes that maybe aren't the big household names and just getting to know our opponents properly. It's an All-Ireland semi-final. It should be that way. And that's what's good about this too, because even in the non-COVID era, some of these All-Ireland semi-finals can pass you by very, very quickly when they deserve to be put on a pedestal all on their own.
Yeah, well, I guess for us this time, we have the luxury of a 3-week lead-in to it. And I think we're all finding that that's a huge bundle of time compared to what we've experienced in previous years. But I guess the funny thing is with Tipperary, and I'd say this in the piece in the blog that I did on them, was that while the world at large might look at this as a novel semi-final, it isn't at all. Like, you know, like this would be the third time in 4 years that we'd have played Tipperary in the championship. So we're actually well used to each other at this stage. I was just thinking about it, Rob. I mean, it's only Kerry, Dublin and Galway that we've played more in the championship. In that time span, which kind of puts it into context, doesn't it? You know, we're as teams, we haven't met each other in the league, but we have in the championship. We kind of do tend to know each other quite a bit. And even if you go right back to the minor quarterfinal of 2012, quite a number of that the current Tipperary senior team and their manager, of course, were on board for them then, as were a number of players for us as well.
Interesting. And there's a little segue to something Damien Lawler talks about too. When you start looking back at those minor teams, of course, Tipperary were reigning All-Ireland champions in 2012, having won it in 2011.
When we beat them that day, Rob, that was actually quite a bit of an upset because it was the first time they had lost at minor since 2010. And they were the reigning Munster champions. So we came through the back door that day, beat them fairly well in the end. But it just showed that Tipperary as a footballing force is something that's been around for a while. You know, certainly first and foremost at underage, and then that team progressed to under 21, obviously, and lost an All Ireland final to Tyrone in quite controversial circumstances, actually. And now, obviously, they're a force of senior as well.
And just to bookend that point to 2011 Minor Champions Tipperary, 2013 Minor Champions Mayo. So I guess it all comes full circle and the core elements of those teams still involved now. So it all feels like it's fitting in just nicely all those years on that they're playing at senior level. Right, let's get stuck into the story here of Tip football. We've got 2 great men to speak to. Mike Finnerty, busy man in Croke Park. Let's start with Damien Lawler.
So you're welcome to Croke Park. We're here watching the Larry Maher Cup final unfold. It's at the moment Louth leading Fermanagh by a couple of points, and delighted to say Damien Lawler, RTE Sports sideline reporter for this evening's All-Ireland Hurling semi-final, is here with me. Not just any RTE reporter, but a proud Tipperary man. So Damien, first things first, congratulations. Tipper back.
Tipper back, Mike. It was a long time coming. The feeling was that if they didn't take the chance last weekend, it mightn't come around again too quickly. There's a lot of people after working an awful long length of time to try and get over the line, and they were great. Like, I mean, they could have played better too, to be honest with you, but they just went for Cork from the start. They got the confidence up. The previous 3 or 4 games I had seen, and they played in patches. They played for longer patches against Cork, and it was good enough to get over the line, but that was no overnight sensation. That was a long time coming.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that because, look, we wouldn't have to walk too far around Croke Park to meet a Tipperary man who'd be able to bluff his way through the Munster football final and bluff his way through the Tipperary squad. But I'm talking to a dyed-in-the-wool Tipperary football man in yourself. just for our listeners, give us a sense. You've been involved with the underage squads, involved with an under 20 squad as well just a couple of years ago. You know these Tip lads intimately.
Yeah, I would have a good idea of them all, right? And I think the last few years, Mike, people have been going travelling, going off the hurlers, injured, and we've never had the full compliment, to be honest with you. But I would appreciate how genuine these fellas are. Would have been down with them under 17, would have been with them under 20, and we won the Munster under 17 with them. Colin Reardon, Kevin Fahey, Josh Keane, Jimmy Feehan were all off that team. And then with the under 20s, they were starting to get Conal Kendi through, Reen Quigley, people like that. So for the last 3 or 4 years, we've had a very poor underage record in Munster. We've barely won a game at minor or 20, and the feeling is that maybe the work that had been done had stopped. And I was even talking to the lads again this week, that needs to start again now, otherwise what happened last Sunday will be completely in vain. So I think John Evans, David Power, Pat Moroney put the development squad structures in, all the right coaches came in, there was good people in charge of every team, like from Jim Power level under 14 all the way up, and suddenly Tip became competitive and suddenly lads wanted to play football. And we got to, Nicky will tell you there, we got to an All-Ireland hurling minor and football final in the same year. That created another mess then in Tip because of the dual players, and they lost both, and you know, the hurlers blame the footballers and blah, blah, blah. And that's been going on forever. And I don't think you're going to get around that. But the point we're all trying to make now is the county's big enough to have a strong hurling team and a strong football team too. And I think really that was that's a new way of thinking that's really coming. The dual player thing will not work, you know.
So as you said, this isn't an overnight success. I get the impression it's not seen in Tipperary as a flash in the pan either, despite the fact, obviously, it's been so long since their last Munster title. But tell me, what have you been hearing in Tip since they beat Cork last weekend? And what's your sense of the mood ahead of the Mayo game?
Yeah, mood is unbelievably delighted. Thrilled. Thrilled to have it over the line. But they got over it quickly enough. You know, we've had two games against Mayo and like been beaten in both of them in recent times. And the 2016 one was a game they gave an almighty effort. And the one in Thurles a couple of years ago then as well, that went fairly well. Down to the wire, I'd say maybe Mayo pull off in the last 10 minutes. So I think they want to maybe make a point and maybe see, kind of test themselves against a team like Mayo, who's been geared up for Dublin for the last 6 or 7 years. Tipperary would have been close to Division 1 football 2 years ago, but they're also close to Division 4 football. So somewhere in between lies where we are. And I think that with Colin O'Riordan back, with Stephen O'Brien back, there was way more confidence going into that game than there would have been. But to be under no illusions either, they know how good Mayo are, and James Horne trying to form a new team there. But look, these guys have had a great success underage, and they won't lack for confidence now. There's no doubt about that.
Can I ask, even last week in the Mayo News, and I know again this week, there'll be a lot of focus on Conor Sweeney, Michael Quinlivan, Colin O'Riordan, Stephen O'Brien, the household names we'll call them. But can I ask you for a couple of minutes, tell me a little bit about the lads that might necessarily be household names, but we need to keep an eye on, we need to keep an eye out for. Who are the Tip lads that are going to be, well, maybe the talk of the country, possibly next Sunday evening?
A few weeks ago, John Maher went from the football panel. He was slotted in that team, number 3, and he went off to the hurlers, and he's been wearing probably a subs jersey for the last few weeks. A very, very tough decision for John to go. Didn't quite get the break he wanted with the hurlers, and he's a massive loss for the footballers. But when he's gone, Jimmy Feehan has slotted into number 3, and Jimmy would have been playing wing back in recent years, and maybe his form wasn't up to his own high levels, but he's playing unbelievably well, and he'd probably have to mark Aidan O'Shea, and he'll have to be playing well. But he's been aggressive, he's been out first, and he's shown great confidence again. Was a good Sigerson Cup player in his day as well. Speaking of which, Liam Casey won a Sigerson with UCD a few years ago. Unbelievable footballer, needed a bit of coaching in terms of refining the shooting and when to shoot, but he's after coming up this year with some incredible scores really in both league and championship, and he scored goals when they needed him most in the league. He's another guy to watch out for. Kevin Fahey then is a guy that we had under 17, would have been on the wings, but has really settled into centre back this year. David Power put him in a centre, and just so aggressive, burst forward every opportunity, but has the fitness to get back again. Really good soccer player too. And Evan Comfort, our goalkeeper, could have played League of Ireland soccer with a couple of clubs, but he chose to go to football, and that was a sign of confidence as well. So he won't be flustered anyway, Mike. He's never flustered, and even if he makes a couple of mistakes, it won't get to him, like, you know. And very, very steady goalkeeper, saved the penalty against Clare in Championship 2. So players like them would be the undersung ones where everybody talks about Mikey and Connor and Colin as well.
Can I ask you about David Power? You know David very well, you know him personally. I've been intrigued some of the stories I've read about him over the last few weeks. you know, involved in Tipperary football since a very young age, stands outside or stood outside Munster hurling finals collecting for the footballers, obviously had great days now with the Tip Minors in 2011, worked his way up through the under-20s, and now, you know, I'm sure he can't walk down the street without people trying to shake his hand or elbow bump him. But tell me a little bit about David Power and what he brings to the mix.
He's a good lad, first of all, anyway, as humble and as honest as they come, and he would have got me into the development squads and maybe brought me in to learn as much as anything else off the lads too, because my role in them was limited enough, but I was learning off good people the whole time. So he's a great organiser. He was our manager with the under-20s and I was a selector. He'd delegate a job to you. He'll always, every single morning, be on to you. Are we doing this? Are we doing that? Good early calls, all is clear in what he wants. Just a great organiser, great man to bring people into the setup as well. A qualified accountant by trade. His father, Michael, would be driving force in Tipperary for so long, Tip football. County board treasurer at the moment would have been really Mr. Football for so long. So Dave was very, very emotional when they won in Cork for his dad. He went off to Wexford then for a few years to learn his trade over there, and, you know, learnt an awful lot there. You know, didn't go great for him results wise, but they still had a win in the championship, and he brought on a load of young lads, and, you know, Wexford haven't really hit any heights since he left either. But he's great man for bringing on youth, and he's always, even now, he'd be looking ahead to the underage development structures while he's in the senior job, because his heart's in the right place, and assembled a great backroom team around him, Mike. So he is not he is secure enough in himself to be able to delegate out the positions to other people. Paddy Christie, Charlie McKeever, Joe Hayes, all these guys know their roles, and there's nothing wasted with him. And he knows there's no great resources in Tip football. He's known that all his life, but he really produces the goods. And to win that All-Ireland Minor in 2011 really was a miracle game. But he believed there was a minor title there. He thought it might come in 12. And even after coming back from Wexford Seniors, he dipped back into the underage again. He coached the minor team, then he took the under-20 the next year. So he's no ego whatsoever when it comes to Tip football. He's, you know, in an ideal world, you'd make him director of football for the foreseeable future, to be honest with you.
Two quick questions to finish, because we have to go and do a bit, as the man says. Tell me, Seamus Kennedy. There's been a bit of talk in the last week that we may see him.
No chance whatsoever. Seamus is one of the best footballers in the county, and John Maher is a great footballer. John McGrath is a great footballer too, but there's no chance whatsoever. Absolutely none. It was mentioned in conversation, but there was nothing going to happen with that at all.
And finally,
the lads have been training for too long. You know, Seamus can't just come in, and he knows this himself. He can't just drop. Anyway, he's only getting back to full fitness from the hurling. He hadn't played in the last couple of games, but they're different sports, Mike, and you'd need a good build-up to it, I would imagine, you know.
And finally, I know what your heart is saying, but in your head, your logical part of your brain, can Tipperary... Well, I know Tipperary can beat Mayo, but will Tipperary beat Mayo?
Oh, God. Like, I mean, the smart money would say that the conditioning that Mayo have would pull them away in the last 10 minutes. If Tip can hang in there and try and use the bench wisely, they have every chance of winning that game. But I know I'm speaking, overruling myself here at heart, overruling the head. I think they've got a great chance. They need to get off to a great start. They need to keep the pressure on you guys, and they need to be in the game with the last quarter to come. The water breaks have been crucial, and if they're there with the last one, they can challenge. But if Mayo pull away, there won't be any great surprise to outsiders either, Mike.
Damien, thanks for your time. I have to say, since you moved to RTE, you haven't changed a bit. It hasn't blown your head or anything.
No, I'm still the same man from North Tipperary that I always will be. So I don't think anybody cares where I work either. It's only a small thing in life, isn't
Damien,
it?
Damien, thanks a million. Enjoy the evening.
Anytime, mate.
GRG Sports are proud sponsors of this podcast. Kit out your team today. Bespoke team sportswear designed by players for players. Be game, be ready, be geared. Check out GRG's website at grgsports.com.
So you're welcome back to Croke Park. 24 hours on, we're up here in level 7. It's a dry run, I suppose you could say, for the All-Ireland football semi-final between Mayo and Tip on Sunday, and I'm delighted to say Nicky English has agreed to give me a few minutes of his time. We're not going to talk about the small ball, but before we tune in to Limerick and Galway, we're going to have a chat about Mayo and Tip next weekend. Nicky, it's hard to believe 4 years since we stood in a similar spot talking and looking forward to an All-Ireland football semi-final between Mayo and Tipperary, and here we are again. And a lot of water under the bridge since.
Yeah, a lot of water under the bridge. And I think that's probably the last time I had any discussions about football in, on radio or anything. So it's been, you know, an unbelievable year, really, in every sense. And, like, Tipperary winning the football was fantastic. And we were absolutely thrilled last Sunday. I think, for me, it was one of the two most significant victories I actually ever saw Tipperary having. One was the first one was the 87 Munster hurling final in Killarney, where Tip hadn't won Munster or any match in Munster during the period, but they hadn't won from 71 to 87. And after a replay, they went to Cork, or went to Killarney and beat Cork. And so up to last Sunday, I thought that was, you know, the most significant. But I think last Sunday really challenged that, and was a hugely significant victory for Tipperary. And actually, after the match, it was very emotional, because, you know, the lads speaking after the match, you know, they mentioned the likes of Hugh Kennedy, who was involved in Tipperary football over many, many years. And when we played minor when I played minor with Tip back in the late 70s and early 80s and under 21, and Hugh was, Pat Maroney, Petey Savage, Seamus McCarthy, you know, all those men kept the whole thing going for many years. And, you know, against the tide of hurling, let there be no doubt as well, you know what I mean, because, you know, that's, and but was fantastic reward for all the work over the years to see them win in the Munster final. And now, of course, going in to play Mayo is, you know, a great occasion again for Tip. And, you know, as we discussed the last time, Tipperary really don't suffer from a lack of belief in you know, it sounds mad that Tipperary footballers could have a belief. Now, obviously, Mayo are playing in much higher division and much higher grade, but, like, Tipperary will give themselves a chance, no doubt. And as we saw in 2016, you know, that was, they did put it up to Mayo for a lot of the time in 2016, having had Robbie Kiley sent off quite early in the game. So, yeah, I'd say, you know, they really don't have anything to lose. So it'll be interesting to see how they'll go, and they have some good footballers.
Let me take you back to last Sunday just for a second again, Nicky, because you mentioned how significant it was, and I'm just curious to maybe scrape the surface of that a little bit. And I also read in your Irish Times column on Monday that, you know, you said it was an emotional occasion for you, and sometimes people can say that and it can be a throwaway comment, but you said it was the first time that you remember actually crying after a Tipperary match in your life, and that's some statement.
Yeah, well, that's the truth. Yeah, I and it was more kind of the memories of the likes of Hugh Kennedy and people like that, and, you know, seeing the emotion of Colin O'Riordan after the match. Like, they were very powerful, you know, images and powerful contributions and a powerful speech by the Conor Sweeney. And no, but it was just, you know, a lot of people had soldiered for a long time in the Tipperary football scene, and I've no problem admitting it. It was, like, that's what I meant by emotional. I was crying after the match. And,
can you put it into context, Nicky? I mean, I won't say it maybe went so far as lads puncturing footballs, you know, back in the day, but, like, there's no doubt, as you've often talked about, the footballers for forever and a day, second class citizens, I mean, in Tipperary, really. And I suppose that, I'm just trying to put into context.
I suppose, in terms of second class citizens, really, it's not so much that, but, like, I suppose the ambition, really, for out of the same pool of athletes, really, is more on the hurling side. So you see, even in currently, I mean, Seamus Kennedy is one of the best footballers in Tipperary. John McGrath is one of the best footballers in Tipperary. You have to feel sorry for John Maher, who was captain of the football team about 2 or 3 months ago, really, before COVID. And then he chose to go, after an outstanding club campaign, he chose to play hurling. And he got a game against Limerick in the first round, but didn't play thereafter. But, I mean, he was gone off the football side. So you know, the ambition, like, to play with Tipperary, you really have to want to play with Tipperary footballers. You know, a lot of players play on the hurling side because there's glory involved. There's, you know, it's a bigger scene. And that's what really, you know, stands out for me. And that's why last Sunday's victory was so powerful, because it was for the players who really wanted to play football and have kept it going over the years.
So, Nicky, you know the mindset of these Tipperary lads as well as anybody, and you know the mindset of David Power. And, like, will they have any fear going into the Mayo game? Obviously, Mayo are going to be raging hot favourites, and everybody's going to assume it's going to be a Mayo Dublin final. So how does that feed into the Tip preparations, do you think?
Well, Tipperary in either football or hurling always have great belief. Do you know what I mean? No, you could say, well, what's it founded on? Who knows? But it's always there. But I wouldn't think that, you know, they'll be phased by going to Croke Park, really. A lot of those lads have played, you know, minor football, won in All-Ireland, they played under 21 football, you know, they were got very close against Tyrone. They've had a lot of experience, really, and, you know, they've had a couple of matches with Mayo over the last few years, you know, 2016 here, and, you know, the match in Turles that you came down to a couple of years ago, and, you know, that was close enough for a long time, but Mayo ran out, you know, fairly convincingly, I suppose, in the last 10 minutes. So I think Tipperary will feel like they have nothing to lose, really, Mike, and I don't think they'll be fazed by it. I think the biggest thing they'll have to do is kind of park the Munster final. If they could do that and not get caught up in the maybe the euphoria or the bandwagon of winning that. Now, I think the circumstances we have in life in general will assist in that, because, you know, you're not meeting that many people anyway, so, you know, you get on with your life and you're able to park that victory. And if they do that, then I think, you know, based on the form they showed against Cork, they have, if they can win enough ball, they have forwards that can score, and if they can score, well, then that's you know, they'll cause some difficulties, I would have thought.
I was going to ask you as well about the backdrop to the game on Sunday, and you touched on the build-up, but let's fast forward to game day itself, and God knows we've been at enough matches over the last few months to know that it's very different now inside all these big stadiums, and they don't get any bigger than Croke Park. Nobody being here for the match, is that going to be any help to Tip? Is it going to hurt Mayo a little bit, do you think? Or will it have any bearing whatsoever on what happens?
I honestly don't think it has any bearing on what happens. But I suppose if you look at the, like, there's probably a book to be written on this. If you look at the psychology of the matches that have been played so far, you know, the underdog has kind of come good in the crowdless atmosphere on a number of occasions. I mean, we had Cork against Kerry. You had Tipperary against Cork. You know, you had Cavan coming through against Donegal. Now, obviously, Dublin are at the other side of it. You know, they've been able to put teams away. Mayo were able to put Roscommon away. But Mayo really bring big support in the football, though, as well. Do you know what I mean? Whereas Tipperary mightn't have that much football support. So I'd say, if anything, you know, the lack of a crowd could hurt Mayo more than Tipperary. But I suppose in general terms, I don't believe it makes an awful lot of difference.
Obviously, you're famous for the way you analyse hurling matches and you predict outcomes, and you're not bad at it. Let's be honest, you get more right than you get wrong. When you look at Mayo Tip in the semi-final and you analyse where Tip can hurt Mayo, and then on the flip side where you'd be worried for Tip, just give us a little idea or a snapshot of what you're thinking.
I wouldn't claim to be an expert on football, really, to be honest. I thought at times in the Munster final, Cork's play really was fairly idealist, really, if you could describe it as that. Like, they'd put pressure on Tip, but once they got to the 45, they invariably turned back, and there was no real straight line running like we saw from Waterford Hurlers, for example, last night against Kilkenny. Now, I think that what I have seen of Mayo this year, I saw them against Galway, I watched that game, you know, they have a bit of pace from the back. And number 7, whose name escapes me,
Owen McLaughlin,
you know, he's a guy, and number 11 again, whose name escapes me, those guys have pace, and they,
Ryan, I don't know who,
yeah, those guys are, you know, they're dangerous, I think, for Tipperary, because, you know, there were stages in the second half where I thought against Cork that Tipperary were vulnerable enough, but Cork really didn't have the, they didn't either have the pace or the direct running style enough to actually cause the trouble. And I think, you know, you have the O'Connors and you have Aidan O'Shea, who's, you know, again, I think the mark probably suits him, you know what I mean? And, you know, at full forward, he could be a very dangerous option for Mayo as well.
Will you enjoy the game now on Sunday? Can you watch Tip football games and just sit back and enjoy them? Or does the, you know, the way they say the savage loves his native shore?
I know. Well, I think, to be honest, we don't have any major expectations, really, over the years. And, like, certainly, it would have killed me to see them lose in the Munster final to a last-minute goal for Cork last week. Do you know what I mean? And, but I'll be easily able to watch it. But I will be 100% sure that they will play. Do you know what I mean? They won't be overawed by the occasion. That's most unlikely to happen, and I think Mayo know that from 2016, that's probably unlikely, that if Mayo are going to beat Tipperary, they're going to have to play.
And last question for you, will either of them beat Dublin?
It's very hard. Like, I would have thought up to the Leinster final, I thought Dublin might have been a bit vulnerable, but after seeing what they did to Meath, I'd be very surprised if any of the teams beat Dublin.
Nicky, thanks for your time. Enjoy the hurling semi-final.
You never know, Mike. Mayo, you could do it if you get there.
Mayo for Sam. You're not going to say it for me, yeah?
No, not until after Sunday. The next, after Sunday week.
He doesn't get to talk football too often, but it was great to hear him there.
Oh, it's brilliant, yeah. And wasn't he? He was a special guest at the Club Stars, wasn't he?
Correct.
Probably would it be 2 years ago now? So he would have got his belly full, as well as his dinner. He would have got plenty of football talk that night, anyway, for sure.
Mm, yeah, it's really interesting, and he has a lot of passion for Tipsport. I think the big message that's coming out of these last couple of years for Tipperary is there is room for two teams. I'm quoting Damien there from that interview, but there's room for two strong competitive sides. There's no question that there's a big space in Gaelic football for Tipperary and the way they're playing Gaelic football at the moment. You have highlighted in your piece, though, that there's not necessarily been a straight upward curve from 2016, which is interesting. And maybe this has come a little bit out of the blue this season.
I think so, yeah, because if you look at it in 2018, I always remember we met them that day in Thurles, that boiling hot day in Thurles. I think the battle they gave us that day made it feel like they were a team that did not want their summer to end at that stage, which would have been what, about the 21st, 22nd of June. So they weren't ready to go at that stage. So we felt that they were a team that were really going places. So it actually surprised me when I just went back and refreshed my memory as to what happened after that, because what happened after that hasn't been hugely pretty and certainly doesn't show them as a team on a remorseless upward curve. So the first thing, like if you look at 2019, the first thing that happened to them was that they got relegated from Division 2, and they finished bottom of Division 2, having won just one of seven games and losing five, and themselves and Cork were relegated that spring. And then, perhaps more surprisingly, because this completely passed me by, I have to say, but their championship in last summer was an unmitigated disaster. They were beaten in the first round by Limerick, and beaten well too. And then they lost in round one of the qualifiers away to Down. Now that was up in Uri, tricky tie. Not a huge surprise that they lost that, but nevertheless, their championship was over after just two games. So that was quite the fall now from a team that had been in an All Ireland semi final just 2 years before that. And then if you look at this year, they're obviously in Division 3. They finished fifth in the table, and again it was an uneven campaign, I think you'd say. Their first match in Munster was against Clare, and they wouldn't have been really expected to win that either, because Clare are still a Division 2 team. But they did, and that was probably the first sign that there was something coming from Tipperary this year. They got goals at the start of each half, and they won that match by, I think it was, 3 or 4 points. But then they nearly got knocked out by Limerick, and it was only for an absolutely wonder strike from a free kick by Conor Sweeney out on the sideline that pulled that match to extra time, and then they won it in extra time. So coming into the Munster final, you wouldn't really have thought that they would do it, but you know, on the day and the jerseys and all the rest, history was made.
Yeah. And now all of a sudden, can they get another big day? And I was kind of writing about that today in the Mayo News about the concept of just something that I'm picking up on, just in terms of even the people around the game who speak about it. And it's just kind of trends in how teams just don't have a fear of Mayo. And there's not much we can do about that. I mean, you can't change the way a person feels, John, you know, and you can't make them fear you. Like, it is funny to hear the kind of talk of, you know, not sure Tipperary would have beaten Kerry, but they can beat Mayo. And you're kind of looking at, well, if you look at the championship of the last 10 years, there's very little difference between Mayo and Kerry. If I'm being honest, just my own opinion, I would kind of rate Kerry slightly ahead of Mayo this season. So yeah, fair enough. But like, the talk that they're talking about is like, there's some massive schism between Mayo and Kerry. So it is funny how they approach games against Mayo, and it does benefit teams that they come into these games with this mindset that Mayo are beatable. If they had the same mindset, I argue, today, when they go into games against Kerry and Dublin, if Meath had that kind of mindset going into the Dublin match, would they beat them? Probably not. Would they play better? Definitely.
Yeah, and that's got to be, it is something to do with the residual effects of the jersey. You know, you kind of shake the jersey at people and they're beaten before they even take the field. And you can see Dublin have that effect on is more than three quarters of the country at this stage. Kerry obviously used to have that effect in the past. We don't have the same effect, and teams do fancy their chances. And maybe that kind of explains to some degree why we've had so many stirring battles in the qualifiers down the years, and even where when we have had a particularly good team, but at the same time, you know, lots and lots of counties have had a right good rattle at us in the qualifiers. And I think it does come down to that. I remember that the day down in Clare, Rob, and I bumped into Nevio on the other side, and Nevio of the Outlaws, if you like. And he said straight out, I think we'll take you today. You know, and I was quite shocked because I hadn't even countenanced the notion that Clare might beat it. I thought they should be a good match, and it was a good match.
Yeah, they went 6-1 up, John, just to jump in. Yeah, they went 6-1 up, and they probably left their ground going, God, we had them well rattled. Mayo outscored them 213-7 points from the 20 minute onwards in that. Yeah, that's all forgotten.
Indeed. And that's quite similar to the narrative that has developed around our match against Tipperary in 2018 as well. It's like the common perception would have it, only for a fluky old goal by James Durkin we were beaten that day. That's just pure nonsense. I mean, we hit them at 1-8 without reply at the end. They scored a point to go 3 up with about, was it maybe 20 minutes to go? And James Durkin got the goal and we put 8 points on him. And I think that kind of, again, speaks to that narrative that you say as well, you know, is that there is, we don't have the same aura about us. And I guess we won't until we go and do you know what.
Exactly. And I mean, look, and the facts would say we should have that aura, and the facts would say, but also their approach is correct. It's the best way to go into games against Mayo, and it's been proven to work. Kildare are the example.
Yeah, it is, but again, you know, it is useful to go back to the records and see, well, how have we performed? And if you look at you know, who beats us in the championship since the consistently competitive era started in 2011, and we know who they are. Like it's Dublin, it's Kerry, and Donegal beat us in that final. Other people that we meet along the way don't tend to meet us, and as Connacht champions, we get beaten very rarely by anyone other than Dublin and Kerry.
All right, that's it from all sports shows during the week. And don't forget the paper, be it in physical or digital form, whatever you need, whatever way you want to. You got Billy Joe Padden, Sean Rice, Edwin McGrail, Ger Flanagan, Mike Finnerty, and that's only the start. How could you not pick up a copy of the Mayo News this week? We'll talk to you on Wednesday.